The material provided today is for informational purposes only. It should not be considered legal or financial advice. Consult with a financial professional for your own needs. Johnny, Sestina & Company disclaims any and all liability for the interpretation and use of the content provided today.
I need help getting out of my student loan debt.
I'm so worried. How am I going to afford taking care of my parents?
When's a good time to get into the market?
I'm really not sure when I should start taking my Social Security.
I wonder if I have enough insurance.
I wonder when I can retire.
It's time to talk about your money. Managing to be wealthy. Our team of fee-only financial planners is ready to help you to create better financial habits. Envision your long-term goals and understand money management better than ever. Our resident hosts of Johnny, Sestina & Company are on deck to show you the way.
Welcome to Managing to Be Wealthy. This is Stephen Lucan, and you're listening to your weekly financial planning radio show. Joining me this evening is Mr. Tony Payne. Tony, how you doing?
Great to be here with you.
Excited. Yeah, excited. Well, I'll be honest and transparent because we are recording on a Thursday, and today is game one for the Blue Jackets, so I'm excited for tonight.
I'm excited for future me. I think future me is going to be happy.
Right. So we're listening now Sunday. All the listeners, it's Sunday, and it could be 2-0 Jackets, could be 0-2 Jackets, or 1-1.
Oh, my.
We'll see what it is. But it's exciting because this is bringing a lot of financial revenue to the city. And I read a report this past week that says generally for the second round of the playoffs, it would generate like about $3 million of additional revenues for the team. Some people, well, that just goes to the owner. But this ownership group has suffered a lot of red over the years, over the last 18 years of losing records.
Right.
So it's about time they bask in a little bit of profits.
Yeah.
But you also think about the restaurants and the servers getting more tips. So it's a lot of excitement in the city of Columbus, and sure enough, Boston, I'm sure they're rolling well right now, too. So very exciting.
It plays into a lot of our economic speak here when we think about business drives a lot of things. Sports is a big business. Yes, some of it might go to those evil owners, in this case, good ones, we hope.
Yes.
What about those ushers? What about those popcorn vendors? What about all those people?
The TV broadcasters.
Yeah, exactly. Right? If that game is being played but somewhere else, our local people aren't getting that extra shift, aren't getting those extra dollars. So it's a good thing. It helps everyone here. We love it.
Yeah, and that's exactly it, right? It adds to the economy, or the local economy, and certainly this team has paid its dues when it comes to waiting for success. And it's exciting to see the whole city rallying around the Blue Jackets. So go Blue Jackets. I'll be there games 3 and 4. And as I've been there all season long, 40-plus games.
Exciting. Well, I thought you'd give out your seat number for some financial planning advice. Okay,
not quite.
Fine. All right.
Not quite.
All right.
Well, today we have a really exciting show. Tony and I, we always brainstorm, okay, what are we going to talk about today? And today's topic, we were going to talk about starting your own business. And we talk a lot about different personal financial planning topics, but a lot of times, younger people, once they start getting into their professional careers, they say, I have a good idea and I'd like to start my own business. And we're going to dive into that. What's it going to take? What do you need to consider? The pros, the cons, the good, the bad, the ugly. All of those factors are important. But as always, we like to start off with little current events. And a couple things that I read about this past week. One was a Social Security report came out, and a lot of fear we hear about is, will I have Social Security when I retire? Right? Don't you hear about that? That question comes up quite a bit.
Yeah, definitely. It's reasonable. I mean, as much as the media talks about it, and we know some numbers too, like this report. You look at the report, it's a fair question. We think we know some answers there, not to scare people, but the idea is, yes, there are a limited number of dollars going in, and there's dollars going out, so you want to match those two up. You don't want to pay out more than what's coming in, nor do you necessarily want to collect more than what's going out. You hopefully want to run it even, and I think what we're going to get into is that is not happening.
Yeah, exactly, and right now it's projected to become depleted in year 2035.
Well, that's not too far away.
No,
that's only 15 years. That's half of a mortgage.
And the way I look at it, the year I turn 65.
Perfect.
Right, exactly. I start to quiver and quake in my boots, and I build a financial plan around it. Some people say, well, can I exclude Social Security benefit from my financial plan? You can, but it becomes a pretty daunting task to survive without Social Security.
Right.
Because it's a form of income.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a form of income that you've paid for, too. So as much as we can say you may not want to count on it, there may be those torches and pitchforks out there that if they're going to take it completely away, Washington may be torn apart here. So the idea will be there's going to be tweaks, changes. This report, the main takeaway I think for us was it's what people have been saying for years. You have to take care of the problem ahead of time, or you're going to have to make major changes all at once. Exactly what scare tactics on both sides of the political aisle do. Both of them need to perhaps, come together ahead of time, or you will face seniors who may have to have benefits reduced rather than just gradually changing the program before someone's even seen their first benefit.
And that's what the projection is, says 80% of benefits, meaning you would get a 20% cut on your benefit. Is that's what the projection is looking like right now. So, Tony, what would you go about as far as how do you fix it, or what is being done to fix it?
Well, there was something proposed years ago, and it wasn't very popular, it seemed like. But George W. Bush, President Bush, brought it up. The idea of you allow people to invest part of their Social Security individually. We know people aren't professional investors, so there was some line to say, you know what, let's have a backstop no matter what. But think about it. Social Security as a program is basically invested in U.S. government bonds. Treasuries that for the last 10, 15 years have paid very minimal rates. But when you think about what has the stock market done since 2003 when this proposal went in, if someone was able to have half of their Social Security going into that separate bucket in the market invested at a market rate, we wouldn't be talking about this. The program would be overfunded, literally, because the growth rate and the interest and income earned would have been so much bigger than what just putting it at the normal T-bill rate has done. We didn't do that. We didn't go that route. But I think that would still be the proposal is we know people aren't all designed to be great investors. But for those who choose to or those who have that ability to hire someone, they may take a risk but get a lot more reward, a better return than what the government would give them. And, you know, as we go through and talk about what are the options, that's one of them certainly, aside from cutting benefits, is get a higher return.
And you hit the nail on the head is people. Some people, unfortunately, make poor financial decisions. And that could be the negative behind it is do you want to give people control of their future dollars? Because what happens when they lose it? Who's going to take care of them?
Right.
And actually, I'm going to go on a tangent. There was another issue this week where Elizabeth Warren said, let's just forgive all the student debt.
Forgive.
Let's forgive it. Isn't that because there's a lot of bad financial decisions that were being made?
Stephen, you're right. And bad financial meaning you're the student, you're told to go to college. That's a good decision
correct.
From the high end. We don't, not nothing bad about that. But think about all those people making money along the side. I mean, we kind of joked about it a few shows ago, the people paying big money to get into universities. You have all these administrators, different levels here, and some very good at what they do, trying their best. But again, it's a bureaucracy.
It is.
You asked me earlier, you know, what could we do about raising or reducing the cost of college? It's not saying lower the sticker price necessarily. Change the whole institution. If you think a welder, you know, something that's state certified is good enough, well, then have one test school that you could go take your welding exam and then apply that to all 50 states. But if you have licensings that are different across all 50 states, it's just like that with education. You've got all these different little cottage industry schools that, you know, hey, I'm the best at speech management. I'm going to make you the best speechwriter ever. Well, there's a lot of universities that may proclaim to have that department, but if you skinny that down to maybe one or two out there, think of all the overhead duplicity that goes away there, where you might be able to reduce the cost and say, you know what, here it is, because we have thousands of students. It's completely different than saying, hey, let someone else pay for it.
Right, and that's why I just hate it's sort of the pandering for the votes. And again, that's a political game. It's always has been played and will continue to be played. But to just say, let's forgive all the student debt just for a bunch of votes, that's a dangerous situation. Fix the Social Security problem. Let's focus on a bigger problem that's right in front of us right now. They don't want to do that because that's a negative situation where we'll take votes away from them. So regardless, John always jokes with me. We told him not to talk about politics, and I've been bringing it up quite a bit. So we'll move on when we get back. We're going to take a break now, and when we come back, we're going to move forward and talk a little about starting your own business. You're listening to Managing to be Wealthy on 610 WTVN.
You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy with fee-only financial planners of Johnny, Sestina, and Company. Expert advisors as seen in the Wall Street Journal, Financial Planning Magazine, Kiplinger's Personal Finance, and U.S. News & World Report. If you're looking for the latest stock tip or how to time the market, you've come to the wrong place. If you want help navigating all the moving pieces of what makes a financial plan successful, tune in and take notes.
Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. This is Stephen Lucan. And today we're going to talk about starting your own business and what it takes, as I said, the good, the bad, the ugly. But before we get into that, I'd like to just take a few minutes and talk about April 2019. Hopefully most people have completed their tax returns. And the question is, what have you done with that tax return? Hopefully you just didn't put it into a file or send it off to the IRS. The most important thing is that you reviewed it. And Tony, we had a pretty good debate today talking about this topic because most people just, let's be honest, they don't want to look at the tax return. It's confusing. It's complex. You have somebody prepare it for you. But my point is, make sure that person who's been working with you on the tax return, they review it with you and you have a good understanding of where these numbers are originating.
Right. And the review it with you, that's where, as you and I were speaking too, the idea of what do you mean review it with you? Literally that, though, where did this number come from? I mean, we saw it where someone was reporting as income something that was done in their IRA. And without conversation or discussion, that never gets triggered or happens. Things like, hey, what were you doing for this income? Is this in the right box? It's not all just here, hand them the paper, and they put the paper in the right file. Without someone reviewing that or going through it, you could have a lot of errors that are costly to you. I mean, I think of someone here I was talking with the other day. He was neighboring a high-tax state, working in that high tax state a couple days a month, and his accountant saw that, checked the box, yep, he should pay that high tax estate. We're going through it going, wait a minute, does that really pass all the tests here? Another accountant looked at it. Sure enough, it didn't. And that's even, you had a professional on it looking at it, but you've got to review it. You know, a competent professional can put down things that are true, but without talking to you, how do they know that they're true? And that's, I think, what we were nailing at was you've got to have a discussion, not just, oh, I filed it, put it away. How did that get made up?
Exactly. And the other thing that battle we always fight is even in the financial planning industry. Part of the financial planning process is tax planning, not tax preparation, but tax planning. So if you're working with a financial planner and they're not even bringing up the subject of taxes, that's a red flag. There's so much money to be saved because it's not what you make, it's what you keep at the end of the day. And keeping it from paying your fair share is fine, but fair is fair. Right. But make sure you're not overpaying. As John always jokes, right, an aggressive taxpayer. Right. You don't want to be an aggressive taxpayer. So look at what did you take the standard deduction? Or did you actually itemize? How did your charitable contributions come into play? Will a donor advised fund account? And we have numerous we talk about these topics on previous radio shows. And for the listeners out there, you can actually search these topics on our website, managingtobewealthy.com, and just put up tax planning. And we'll go through the shows specific to tax planning ideas. But these questions are important, and the preparation of tax returns are important, but so is the reviewing of it.
And what you're getting at, or what we're getting at here too, is there is definitely a difference in the different specialties out there. Your investment advisor, if they're claiming to be a financial planner, that's more than investments. That's going through the tax return to say, should we open a different type of account? Maybe we convert this. Do we move you from a low interest tax preferred municipal fund to something more advantageous because you're already in the zero tax bracket? Right. But if they're just investing kind of rote there and they're good at what they do investing, but they're not financial planners, you may be missing out on a lot of things. And an easy example of this was someone last year, great broke, good at what they do, an investment advisor, got them a lot of profits, incurred a lot of capital gains.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. They never talked to the person though about mailing in extra estimated payments.
Right. Surprise.
So, yeah. At
right.
the end of the year here, why did I get this big tax bill? Well, you have to be comprehensive in this, and reviewing the data, something like that, will help you ahead of time avoid those surprises and some of the pain that comes with surprises.
Right. And another good example I always get is, oh, I didn't know Social Security benefits were taxable. In some situations, they are based on your income level. So understand where the numbers originate from. And again, if you're working with another advisor or professional and you're paying them for the service, get what you're paying for. And part of it is the reviewing of your tax return. So we'll leave it at that. All right, Tony, let's talk. Let's move on to the topic at hand, starting a business.
All right. When you led today with all this excitement, this is what I thought you were talking about. I mean, sports are fun and all, but business, that's exciting.
Yes, sports business.
Right, exactly. And I mean, we see it a lot with people. You can start at the young phase. Hey, I just got out of school. Do I start my own thing or do I work for someone else? Or the next phase of life, you've worked for someone else for a while. You've got your life set, but you've got a great idea. You want to make your own business. You see the opportunity. How do you take that leap and know that you're doing the right thing? I mean, the definition of entrepreneur, risk taker, we know that there's going to be some risk involved. So what we're going to try to cover is how do you manage that risk? Because there's no perfect plan. If everyone could go into it, be perfect, we'd all be business owners with big boats or whatever. That's not the way it is. There's a few factors that go into this, and we'll touch on a few of them. But starting off, if you do have that current income, that current employer, think about what you're leaving. I mean, you're leaving that stable paycheck, one, but are there other benefits, too? I mean, usually there are. Maybe it's health insurance, disability insurance, life insurance, paid time off. These are real benefits that if you're a business owner, they don't apply anymore. So I think that's usually where we start is, what are you giving up? Are you prepared to take this leap?
That's a good start. And then what it moves to is I usually ask the question, what kind of business plan do you have? And that I literally had someone say to me, well, I don't know what that is. And that was talk about a red flag.
Right.
And we were talking with Mike earlier about it's not the ideas. There's a lot of good ideas out there. It's the implementation of that idea. And the example I used is Facebook versus MySpace. MySpace was around before Facebook, but we all know what Facebook is. And no one really remembers what MySpace was. Right. But they were basically the same thing, but Facebook had a better implementation and better management.
Right. I'll share with you my billion-dollar ideas, guys. Okay.
Here it comes.
A few years ago, the idea was, all right, let's just take pictures of clothes, and then you could stand in front of the mirror with your phone camera, and it'll show you what those clothes look like on you. That was a neat idea. Talk with buddies. It was fun. Oh, it's not my idea. Amazon's doing it right now.
Right.
But it was my idea in the sense that, oh, I had it. I thought about it. Did I get to put pen to paper, hire developers, get it implemented? Unfortunately, no. I'd like to think I'm smart and had all those opportunities, but there's a lot behind that. And again, it's a technology that you really had to nail in and know and have the specialist with it. But I think a lot of people may have a good idea. But how do you implement it, like you said?
Yeah, and then that's, again, have a business plan. And if you don't know what a business plan is, start to learn what a business plan is. Write it down. Come up with a structure to what your business plan will be, because that's obviously an important part of the most important part of starting your business is what's the business plan.
Right. And if you have that personality, you're that go-getter who wants to start in business, sometimes a business plan sounds like we're the librarian almost, saying, hey, write this down, get your books in order. It really means something. Examine your competition. That's part of it. Examine the costs that are going to go into this, the liability you may have. There's a lot that just putting pen to paper, doing the research on a business plan, it's not just theoretical, something to do in school. If you're going to go out and borrow money or put your own money into this, doing a business plan is key.
The first thing they're going to ask for is, well, let me see your business plan.
Yeah, exactly. Anyone who's investor,
if you're looking for raising capital, that's what they're going to ask for. So that's a great point. And so when we come back, we're going to take a break here. But when we come back, we're going to dive into, okay, what are the steps you need to take after that business plan is created? So you just created that awesome business plan. Now what do you need to look at before you make the dive into starting your own business? You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on News Radio 610 WTVN. To Managing to Be Wealthy. This is Stephen Lucan, and joining me this evening is Tony Payne, and we're bringing up what does it take to start your own business, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the process that you need to go about. Before we dig a little bit deeper into it, if you're interested in learning more about what we do and how we do it, you can visit our webpage at managingtobewealthy.com or call our office at 614-326-3077, and we do offer complimentary meetings to see if we can help you with your financial plan. And a lot of times, Tony, we hear from people that say, I'd like to start my own business. And again, we talk about the business plan, and a lot of times it's in place and so forth. But what a lot of people forget about is, what about their current financial plan that would allow them to start their own business? And what do I mean by that?
Yeah, what we talk about when we think financial planning, I guess, to start, it's the path to becoming independently wealthy. You're not relying on someone else for your income. So to do that, you have to have a few things in place. And part of that is a cash reserve. When emergencies happen, you've got to be able to deal with them. And part of that also may be insurances. If you are disabled and go down, do you rely on your paycheck? If you do, you need some money to come in if you go down. Life insurance, some employers provide that even. If you go down, who replaces your paycheck? So if you have these kind of building blocks of your financial life in place already, it makes it a lot easier to make the leap, because you have some of that independent wealth. It's not just all about having a big stack of money or anything, but having the tools in place that, you know what, if business is slow this year, can I still make my bill payments? If something happens to me, do I have someone on the team that can take over and cover? So that's what we think about, to say, do you have a financial plan in place to even enable you to make that leap to being a business owner?
And that's why we always strive for people to have their own insurance and not rely on the workforce to provide, whether it's health insurance, life insurance, disability. We recommend own it yourself, because you control it then. Someone else doesn't control you. Again, with the employer, you could always leave for another job, whatever that may be, or another opportunity such as starting your own business. And again, everything will be in place. Nothing will change other than your income stream, but you have those tools in place to protect you and your family.
Right. And the key is the tools, because when you make the leap to being a business owner, you may not have the same access to those tools. And we're going to get into that. And one of them, we talked earlier about debt, managing your debt picture personally.
What does it look like?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? What does it look like on your personal financial plan before you start your business?
Right. You want to go out and rent office space, they're going to run your credit. You want a business credit card, they're running your credit. You want a business vehicle or tool, and you need to borrow for it. Again, it comes back to your credit. So most of the time, you've got to have a clean slate here. If you want to invest and grow that way, the same idea with your business. When you go out and think about credit, you're not able to necessarily just start a business and say, give me a credit card bank. You're typically going to have income from the business for a few years before you're ever able to tap into any business credit. So it all relies on you personally, typically. And that's something that I think people forget sometimes, is they start, get off on it, leave maybe the current employer. If you don't have a credit line or a personal credit or something established already, it can be very difficult to get funding for that business if you've already jumped ship.
And not even the business, for yourself too. If you want to refinance your mortgage and you tell them, well, I'm self-employed, there's a really good chance you may not qualify for that loan. Or if, let's say, you're selling a house, the same situation arises. They're very skeptical of business owners. And it doesn't matter what your income is shown. They want W-2s. They don't want 1099s or K-1s.
Right. Definition, entrepreneur, risk taker. That means you may have a couple bad months, a couple bad years, hopefully great ones. But without a solid financial plan and a handle on cash flow management, that's why these other institutions, too, they're not willing to work with you right away. So even something like disability insurance. We talked about that a little earlier. Again, you may want to get that before you jump ship, before you start your new career, because if you have something you can go buy it personally, you're probably going to be able to do that, start your new thing, rather than if you start your new thing, they may not even let you buy disability insurance because you haven't been in business 2 years.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
So
but
you got to map this stuff out. And that might be part of the, instead of a business plan, it's your personal financial plan. Is mapping out that, and I've done that with a few clients where we've mapped out their, okay, we're going to start a business. What's it going to look like the next couple of years? Because even considering moving, relocating, again, if you can't qualify for a mortgage, or, you know, if you're going to have kids and expand the house, make sure this stuff is all planned. So discussions with the spouse, right, very critical. And where you're going to live and how you're going to live is an important piece of the puzzle.
And when you're thinking of your business plan, cash flow, again, when we think of normal, you want to have a cash reserve no matter what. You know, life's going to happen. Surprises come. If you're a business owner, homeowner, parent, now you've got three other levels of surprises. That business itself probably needs its own cash reserve, because not only might you have a personal emergency, the business could have something. So when you're a business owner and maybe it's all relying on you, you really need some cash typically, because you've got to worry about you personally and interruptions to business, which is a little different than if you're working for someone else.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And you touched on earlier about relying on your current employer, and that's such an important piece. So you got to remember, what are your benefits? And too many people focus on, okay, what's my paycheck? And as you mentioned, it, not just the insurances, what are some of the other benefits that may come with your employer?
Right. Well, I'm just going to go to one of the fringe ones right away. Time. You know, typically for that employer, here's what my commitment is. Here's when I need to be there. If someone gets sick in the family, if I'm not feeling well, you get to call in and use some of that PTO maybe, or use some time off. But if you're working for yourself and
that's what the schedule is.
Exactly.
For yourself, 24/7.
You've seen it.
Yeah.
You've seen, I mean, we see it here. But,
yeah, it's firsthand.
And some of us live it, where it's... Yeah. Weekend, whatever, something
you're
comes
always
up.
And you're always thinking about it.
Exactly.
You're always on the clock, and that's what I think most people don't realize. Is there any other benefits your employer currently has?
All right, let's get to the economic
now. Let's go.
The retirement plan. They may offer it, but they may do a match as well. That match is valuable. You may also have an HSA contribution that your employer makes for you, something for your health care. Bigger picture, they may even pay for part of your health insurance premium.
Yeah.
You're going to be on the hook for all of that.
What about even the self-employment tax, your FICA tax,
oh,
right?
Geez.
The employer pays half of your Social Security tax. And guess what? When you're self-employed, you pay both ends.
Right. You may get a credit, but you've got to do the record keeping. You've got to do the accounting. There's big penalties and stuff behind that. So it's a whole other level of, if you're a business owner, and this is the hard part sometimes, someone has a dream, they see the opportunity, that may be great that you're good at what you do. Take a woodworker. You make a great table. But do you know administration on when you have employees or when you have business insurance, or what about the value of that nice wood you got in stock that, you know, the building flooded or something? These are all things that play into being a business owner that has nothing to do with really being good at your craft. And that's the hard part about this, especially going back to your current employer. Think about all the things that your current employer may be doing or have set up for you, and certainly go down the list. Say, can I replace this? Can I deal without it? We're not trying to discourage you from starting your own business, but go into it with eyes wide open.
Yeah. And you hit on a good point, is even do you have the personality to be a business owner? That, again, you're on the clock 24/7, but do you have the networking skills, right? What does it take for you to be successful within that business? You have to schmooze. How do you drum up business? Are you a marketer? Are you a salesperson? Because you better be. If you want to be successful.
Negotiator, firm. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into being the chief executive officer, which is what you are if you start your own business and you're the boss. You're the CEO who's now responsible for all of that. It's a lot more than just, am I good at what my core product is? And again, that's where you have to do your numbers, back to that business plan. What should I even be charging so that I can afford all these extras? Come back to the beginning. You know, you may say, well, the table's this much, here's the wood, here's how much profit I'll make. But now you go back through and say, okay, what about all that overhead? Am I going to charge the right amount?
That's exactly it. Well, we're coming up on another break. When we come back, we'll finish this discussion. You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy on 610 WTVN.
You're listening to Managing to Be Wealthy with fee-only financial planners of Johnny, Sestina & Company. Expert advisors as seen in the Wall Street Journal, Financial Planning Magazine, Kiplinger's Personal Finance, and U.S. News & World Report. If you're looking for the latest stock tip or how to time the market, you've come to the wrong place. If you want help navigating all the moving pieces of what makes a financial plan successful, tune in and take notes.
Welcome back to Managing to Be Wealthy. This is Stephen Lucan, and today we're talking about setting up and starting your own business. And again, everyone likes to think, and I agree, you got to think positive. There's a reason you're doing it. You have positive thought, positive aspect of owning your own business and what you do and why you want to do it. And that's great, but we're just saying consider everything to make sure you're doing it the right way. And so we talked about the insurances, having everything lined up. But the most important thing I would say is having the right mindset. And we talked, are you made out? Are you constructed to be a business owner physically,
right,
and mentally?
Right. And there is something to that. I mean, whether it is, if you say physically, but the idea of you're going to be working perhaps more than 8 hours a day and more than just what you're thinking of work. Everything becomes yours. If that parking lot's dirty, if you're the business owner, probably you're the one who's on cleaning it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Everything there. And that's what we mean by this attitude stuff is if you're thinking I can just throw money at it, you've still got to be able to hire the right people to throw money at.
And have the revenue.
Have the revenue
to support it.
Right. And that's, I think, the hard personality part is some may have a great idea, great technical skills, but then building the team even, because if that's the goal is I'm going to build this business, get revenue, and I don't have to be there, you have to have a team. And that's another part of this we haven't even gotten into, but it goes to personality and what you were saying about, you know, can you network? Are you good at talking to customers, vendors, employees, and being able to negotiate? Those are personality traits. Not everyone's comfortable doing that stuff.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that because I was talking to someone about he has a very successful business, and he used to do a lot of entertainment. That's now tax law has changed, but whether it's a sporting event or a concert, and he said to me, he goes, everyone thinks that's all fun and games and rosy, that, hey, I'm going to the baseball game or basketball game or football game. He said he's exhausted when he gets home because that's work. You're on. And I think people don't realize that when you're on, you're mentally exhausted. So, again, having the right frame of mind for business ownership is critical.
And if you're doing it right.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's, hey, someone's drink wasn't right. I'm the one there negotiating, arguing, making it right, missing the second half because it is a business event. It's not just you go there, show up, have fun kind of thing. You're there for work if you're doing it right. But back to it again, the idea of when you're interviewing, setting up here, you're going to need a team. Maybe it's not employees, but other advisors. And it goes back to your business plan and your budget, things like an accountant, an attorney, an insurance advisor. I mean, again, we deal with
it. Financial planner.
Financial planner.
Part of it, right? And the costs.
Right.
What does it cost to have that team?
And
that's in the startup.
That's usually the tricky part. But, you know, if you pick something high risk, well, not even high risk. We used that woodworking example earlier. If you're going to have a table, you're going to have a saw. Do you think you might want to have insurance that covers you from a business perspective or protects your hands if you're not able to use them for your skill? I mean, these are all things that when you think startup cost for that industry, it may be very direct. You may say, look, I need a great lawyer who specializes in this and, you know, importer trade law, versus if you're doing something out of your back patio, you may be able to go to one of the kind of online websites to get all your legal documents. But if you're starting your own insurance agency, you want to probably have a specialist attorney. It's going to cost you a bit more dollars, but you're going to be able to have a much better head start. And again, thinking that background, you know, do I go ahead and get all my contracts, do it all the right way first, or do I make a first pass and make it better? There's a lot of risk involved in doing that.
Yeah, and then a lot of times you see people, and again, it's big picture thinkers, and that's what a lot of people think when it comes to entrepreneurs. They're an entrepreneur, but there's a difference between being an entrepreneur and a business owner. I don't will ever consider myself an entrepreneur because I don't have that vision. Entrepreneurs, that they are unique individuals. They have a vision that is secondary to none. And there's a big difference. And not all entrepreneurs are good business owners either, because they don't worry about here and now. They worry about 20 years from now, because that's where they're thinking.
Right. You see it maybe on the Twitter, pick some of those high, Tesla's fellow out there where maybe a super genius, but running a company, being responsible, following the SEC's guidelines, those two may not mesh. You might want to have an administrator, and then you get to be the fun thinker and do the fun things. But that's part of what we're talking about with this business stuff, because if it's just you starting out and something goes wrong, they're coming after you personally. They're taking everything you've built. So you want to have that background first before something goes bad. And on the contrary, we haven't talked about it yet today, but let's say things go right and business is growing. At what point do you say, how do I have everything documented so I can cash out? What is my plan?
What is the plan, right?
Yeah. And that's, sometimes, you think about the oddest scenario. Someone didn't try to start a business. They're just good at making tables. Neighbor heard about it, said, hey, can you make me one? Word spreads. Next thing you know,
you've got 30 tables a year.
Exactly.
Right?
Back order. Yeah. And you fell into a business. Now you need to think well, I really am a business. I've got to set all this stuff up. But if you're just, you know, working over the winters or something, showing up doing it, you may miss out on liability protection, on retirement plans, on taxes. So if things are going well, there's a whole nother side to this discussion too. You know, maybe you gift shares to children. When do you include them in the business? Think of a succession plan. Again, to be a little bit more positive here, if things go right and you're rolling in the dough here, you're going to have more problems even with that.
And that's what we say, you separate your time between in the business and on the business. Because in the business is what you're doing. On the business is all the business management side of things. And that's, again, do you have the right frame of mind to it? And again, a lot of times we talk to the small business owners that might start as the solo individual. And a lot of times they jump to, I need employees. And I just... caution, right? Throw caution in the wind. Don't go too much too fast, right? You got to be cautious of what it costs to have an employee, because it's not, if things aren't going right, think about, then you have to get rid of the employee if things are going wrong. That's never, I don't care who you are, it's not easy.
Right.
No, right? People thinking, oh, it's a cutthroat. No, it's an emotional situation. It's tough.
Right. And most of the time, again, it goes back to that personality trait. If you're going to do things responsibly or right, you're going to be the big meanie. You're going to be the one saying, hey, we need to save paper clips, no extras this time, we're cutting the phone call short, whatever it is, but you've got to be squeezing efficiencies out there. And again, if that's not your personality, if people can kind of show up, do what they want to do and go home, that may not be the environment, because if you're in business, you've got to think about all those extras. You know, I've got to not just make enough to pay my people and pay myself, I've got to do all this extra, pay the taxes, set up the retirement, have the insurances. So building that in is sometimes difficult for people to do. And then you go back and either say, well, I need to lower your pay, like you said, Stephen, or I need to get rid of you, or I just don't make enough and I'm treading water. And all those are bad.
Yeah.
That's why we want you to do the numbers ahead of time so you're not stuck.
And again, you know, you hear a lot common things. I grew up in the restaurant industry, and restaurants are notorious for majority of them fail the first year, after the first year. And it's funny because I'd love to see the percentage of the times when it's when the owner is not on site, right? Then that happens quite a bit. It's like, starting a business and I'll be over here. You guys take care of it. You've better have your hands on the pulse of the business. Whatever that business is, you've got to be involved.
Right.
And don't you care more about it than you?
Yeah, it's living, breathing, almost like a child to you. Hopefully it is, because everything you're saying, that commitment, especially if you're later in life, you've left that solid employer, you don't have your pension, you're not guaranteed your 3% raises, it's all on you. Every day that goes by that you're not succeeding, you might think of it as failing, because if you had gone that other path, you might be adding to it. So again, it's just a frame of mind, something we want to reinforce here. But if you are thinking of going into business for yourself, there's a lot more to consider than, oh, I can make something good, here's what I could charge for it. That's great. The idea is key, but you've got to think about all these other things so that you're not getting behind. And it'll be a slow getting behind, and all of a sudden it's, what did I do?
Yeah. So in wrapping up, have a business plan. Make sure your personal plan, financial plan is in order, all your insurances, everything lined up properly, have a good advisor team, and just make sure you have everything mapped out. Hopefully today's topic was helpful for those listeners that are out there, and we look forward to you listening next week. You're listening to Managing to be Wealthy on 610 WTVN.